stay with the hospice. We say this because Eastern has a board member. But as John tells, first Eastern morning began very difficult. Began grief, confusion, fear, unknowing. The text does not tell us why Mary went to the tomb. But we can probably assume she went there like grieving family and friends to visit the grave of someone they lost. Just trying to make some kind of connection. Trying to come to grips with what happened. What she found when she got there was what she thought was a desecration. An open grave, stolen body. In panic, she runs back to him. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb and don't know where he is. So Peter and the disciples run past each other. We can infer from the fact that they ran that they were also panicked. And so the confusion and fear of the night before is now filled with the excitement of panic. And they see what Mary had told them. Linens lying over the body and a wrap on his head. And boots lying on the stone. And we're told that they saw and they believed and they went home, probably high. But Mary lingered on. How many of our days begin like this? Just like the 50 disciples, with confusion and fear, not knowing what the day holds, not sure what things mean as they happen. This has been a tough year for me. It's been a tough year on many, many levels. And as I listen to people talking about their anxiety, their confusion, I hear uncertainty about what's coming. And while it's different than what the disciples had, it's our version of that same set of emotions. We don't get to know how things can play out. We only get to watch as it happens. And unfortunately, we measure that by our expectations, usually of what we want, rather than trusting that what's coming is what's supposed to be coming. And those expectations are shaped by our desire for stability, for our wish for things to be predicted. And by surprises, we don't like change. 2 weeks ago, I visited a friend in South Carolina, and she told me she was taking me to the beach. And so I had images of what that beach would look like. Same images that are near it. Sand, shells on the beach, some reflecting on the ocean. But this is what I found. Gone. It's one of the other gone. This is Honey Island, South Carolina. This face is bird. I don't know if you can see it or not. Old piping, there are bricks and pieces of busted pavement from the neighborhood that used to be in this spot. And my first walk out of this place, all I thought was devastation. But it was so beautiful at the same time. And the scene goes on for a while. There's maybe 1,000 trees down along the beach. The remnants of the cabins and the neighborhoods that have been there. Because the ocean has now come in about 400 yards from where it was several years ago. And this place had more of an effect on me than drinking. This melting of what had been what was coming. And so it strikes me this is much like what this is for the first folks. I wrote this wanting to be back the second day because I couldn't live enough of it. And I wrote this. Surf comes to my feet, and the sun sprinkles light and color like a foam on the horizon. Branches from a thousand trees rise like sea monsters. Low tide will take the remnants of the neighborhood, foundations, drain pipes, busted asphalt, septic walls, and each pipe carries its pretensions carrying away the sea. The sea knows no enemy. It swallows these homes without malice. It haunts this place without anger. It neither knows nor cares for girls and wives and men with grills chasing these bad creatures. Now for this rolling water. Machines and gadgets turn the elegant diet rock-like to the thread. Against the ceaseless crash of waves, there is an echo of the momentary, of the immortalized trunks of oak and palmetto and wall-walled pine, half buried in the sands. But what was ocean bottom? What was one's lives lived in the memories of a thousand moons? And it creeps into these moments, like salt-sucking life in tree and marsh, preserved like bones on this apocalyptic expanse. Fully, fully, see chance, more between life and death on this marvel, exchanging the old for the new, snickering at us in the gull's cries, whispering, the pretentious ones do not realize. All is devastation. All is rebirth. One becomes the other. The sea, the land, the surf, the air, the dead, the living. All moments on a changing canvas. All whimsy and great imagination. Then the soul of the sea, seamless pine, washes over my feet. So by the time the second day was over, instead of devastation, I saw beauty. And then the change was bringing something else. It always brings something else. And so, I think what those disciples found on that first day was terrifying change without realizing exactly what kind of new day had just occurred. The day was done. So Mary was at the tomb as the disciples go. And she sees the angels sitting at her, sitting at what the word had been on Jesus' head and feet. And they ask, "Woman, why are you crying?" But they were asking, why should she cry? Because something wonderful happened. And she says, they have taken my Lord. And she turns and sees someone she thinks is a gardener, then recognizes them. After he says, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" So in these moments where of confusion and devastation that come in all kinds of forms to us, who is it that we're looking for at these times? Like Mary, we see out of the mind's eye of our expectation. We want to date in something to recognize, something that makes sense. But this was a new day. things would never be the same for Mary or for us. From that day forward, death was no longer death. Grief was no longer grief. Confusion was no longer confusion. Fear no longer fear. Not in the way that we had understood. No matter. Yeah.